Luke 24, you know, Jesus was crucified. They waited around. I just can't even imagine what they were wondering about, you know, what they thought they might do. They're afraid of being persecuted themselves, of being arrested themselves, being crucified themselves. They were just shocked because they expected Jesus to lead a revolution and reinstate the kingdom of Israel, to overthrow the Romans and to take over and rule from Jerusalem. That those were their expectations, and it didn't happen. Remember, Peter drew the sword and cut the ear. He was ready to fight. When he told Jesus, "I'll go with you, I'll go to jail, I'll die with you," he meant it. Remember when Lazarus was dead and they said, "Where's Lazarus?" And they said, "Well, he sleepeth." And they said, "Well, if he's sleeping, then he'll recover." And Jesus said, "No, when I say sleep, I mean dead. He's dead." And they said, "Well, let's go die with him." So they were all in. They were ready to go as far with Jesus as possible. But when he was arrested and he put the ear back on the servant and told Peter to put his sword away, it kind of shook them up. They weren't sure what to do. Not to mention, well, let's mention it, Judas, one of their own, betrayed him. And so there was a lot of confusion and a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear. And now Jesus is dead, and they put him in the tomb, and they know he's dead. And so for 3 days, they were just lost. And then that morning when the ladies came and said, "He's risen," they said, "You can't be for real. That's impossible. Nobody does that." And they ran to the tomb. They said, "Well, he's gone, but where did he go?" Well, see, that night, Jesus entered the upper room where they were gathered. Now, we know Thomas wasn't there. What we also see here, and what we're going to talk about tonight, is there were two guys of their group, not apostles, but of their group, who before Jesus appeared in the evening, they decided, "We're going to go to Emmaus. We're going to take a walk to a village." And that's where we pick up in verse 13. Two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, trying to figure it out, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. It doesn't say that his appearance was different. It says that their eyes couldn't see, couldn't process that that was Jesus. Like Mary, when she saw him in the garden, she did not know that that was Jesus until he said her name, and then she knew. So they're walking with him, and they didn't know who it was. Verse 17, Jesus said to them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are so sad?" See, the news was there, but they didn't know. They didn't comprehend it. They couldn't process it. What was the conclusion they'd come to? Somebody stole the body away. Remember Mary said, "If he doesn't belong here, if we're trespassing, then we'll move the body. I'll move it myself," she said. "But please just show me where the body is." And so they're still kind of functioning with that mindset. One of them, verse 18, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" He said unto them, "What things?" They said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people." So their opinion of him was that he was a magnanimous prophet. He was a man of God, no doubt. Verse 20, "How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they have crucified him. We trusted that it should have been him, that he should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive." You see, what's their countenance? Sad. They don't believe it. They can't put it together. Why? Because it's an incredible event. It's one thing for us to look at them and to question them why they didn't believe the women. But it's hard to believe. Have you ever experienced something in your life that was just so shocking that it took you a while to process it? Sure you have. We all have. Well, it says in verse number 25 that Jesus said unto them, "Oh, fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" Isn't this something he should have done? I know it's not what we wanted. Remember what Peter said? Jesus, don't say stuff like that. What did Jesus say to Peter when he said that? "Get behind me, Satan. Thou savorest the things of man and not of God." Now, in the flesh, to be whipped and beaten and crucified the way that Jesus was and humiliated the way that Jesus was, none of us wants that. Not for us or for anybody else. But Jesus said it was necessary. Go back to Isaiah. Isn't that what Isaiah described? Go back to the Old Testament where it says, "What are these holes in your hand?" And Jesus said, "Those that I received in the house of my friends." The holes in his hands were necessary. The hole in his side was necessary. The crown of thorns, all of this was necessary. To be slain like a lamb before the shears was necessary. By his stripes, the whipping was necessary. It was all part of God's plan. Hard for us to imagine, but those are things of the flesh. Spiritually speaking, eternally speaking, those things had to come to pass. To fulfill, as he said this morning, we read it, to fulfill the prophets and the law. And beginning at Moses, verse 27, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You imagine, and we've looked at it. In the beginning, God, that word God in Genesis 1:1 is the word Elohim. It infers a plural, which means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. Again, God, Jesus did not become the image of man. Man was the image of God. Jesus just took on a form as a baby and grew up to that form. But it was his image. He is, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was 100% God and 100% man. He began in the old in Moses, and he began to expound all the things that pointed to him. Isn't that incredible? Wouldn't you love to have been in that walk and hear the things that Jesus says? And it says they drew near to the village, verse 28. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us. It's toward evening, the day is far spent." He went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. And he blessed it. Boy, I tell you, our prayer life tells a lot about us, doesn't it? How we pray tells a story. And when Jesus talked to the Father, it was different. Remember when the apostles heard him and they heard him pray, and then one of them said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Well, we want to pray like that. We want to be able to get things done in our prayers. I want, when I pray, I want God to hear me. And I know that the Bible gives me the assurance that he will, but I want to come in the right attitude and the right spirit so that it'll be well received. I want to be able to see that, I want God to see that I have expectation in my prayer, that I'm not praying just out of obligation because I'm supposed to, but I really want to see some results from these prayers. I want, when you pray, pray for results. Pray that God will actually do what you've asked for. Expect that, not just reciting some old prayer somebody else wrote. Well, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Remember, his appearance didn't change, their eyes were opened. Look at verse 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us as he spoke to us along the way, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?" The way that Jesus explained the Old Testament is not what they got in the synagogue. It's not what they got by any other teacher. What they heard when Jesus, why? Because he was there. He was there. He saw it all. When he talked about wrestling with Jacob, he was there. When he talked about standing in the doorway of the tent with Abraham, he was there. Sodom and Gomorrah, he was there. All of these events, he was there. You reckon he told about that time he was in Samuel's room and he kept saying, "Samuel," and Samuel kept running in the other room. Yes, Eli. Eli said, go back to bed. I didn't call you. He said, well, I heard you call. I didn't call you. And Samuel went back in there. Jesus said, Samuel. And he got up and ran in there again. And Eli finally says, hey, next time you hear that, just say, hear my Lord. And the Lord said, Samuel. And Samuel said, hear my Lord. Changed his life. But we, you know, we're listening for that voice of someone else. We ought to be listening for the voice of God. Let God speak to us. And so their hearts burned within them. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 gathered and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Hey, those ladies weren't lying. Those sisters knew what they were talking about. By the way, we didn't believe them either, but what they said is true. And we've seen them. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. And so it begins to build, right? Now it begins to be more reasonable. So what happened as they were there with the 11? As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Now, I didn't want to go into a lot of deep details, but understand that when the sacrifice is made, the sacrifice has to be offered. And so the high priest would then go into the Holy of Holies. And the sacrifice has been made, and now he would present himself before God. And God would either accept the sacrifice or he would reject the sacrifice. And the life of the high priest was relying upon God's mercy, that God would accept what's been offered. And so, when that high priest would come out from the Holy of Holies and go back to the people, what would he say? He would say, Shalom, peace. And that's what Jesus says as now he returns to the apostles and he says, peace. In other words, it's been accepted. The offering's been made and the offering's been accepted. Remember in the garden, he told Mary, don't touch me. Touch me not. I've not yet ascended to the Father. So he still had to go do that. The offering, and you study the sacrifices in the Old Testament, that offering that had to be made after the Sabbath. You see, Jesus had offered that also, the wave offering. And it's not something that we really think about. But Jesus was raised, understand this, he woke up, if you will, after the Sabbath, which is the evening of Saturday. But we don't see the stone rolled away and Jesus presenting himself until Sunday morning. But he had all that night to do some of the work that was necessary after the sacrifice has been made. And yet that morning he told Mary, I've still got to go and present myself to the Father. I've still got to be accepted as a sacrifice. And now it's been offered, and he goes now to these, to the apostles and the others that were gathered, and he says, it's been accepted. Peace. Shalom. But they were terrified, verse 37. Affrighted and supposed they had seen a spirit. They still didn't believe it. They still weren't sure. He said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, look at this, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, see me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you have seen me. And then what did he do? When he had thus spoken, he showed him his hands and feet, while they yet believed not for joy. And what they were shocked. They were stunned. Comprehend this. We, as God's people who have accepted Christ as our Savior, our sins are washed away. We know we're going to heaven. We have a personal relationship with God, right? There are people out there who read this and they say, how can you believe that? Well, let me tell you this. The apostles that were there didn't believe it. They had trouble understanding. They had trouble even being believers. In fact, they struggled with it so much that Jesus had to show them the holes. And then he says, you still believe I'm a spirit? Let me sit down and eat with you. Have you any meat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. He took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you. I don't know why this is a surprise. I told you this was going to happen. But they didn't understand. Sometimes, and tell me if I'm wrong, but sometimes in our lives we hear things, but only when it happens do we put the pieces together and say, that's what he meant by that. That's what that meant. I didn't know. I didn't understand. But and we hear preaching and we it doesn't relate to us. We don't think. And then we go through it. And then all of a sudden we have the information we need because we were already taught. He says, I told you these things. Verse 45, and then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So first with the two that were on their way to Emmaus, now with the apostles, and he's still teaching. Can you understand why Jesus, when he was getting ready to go to the cross, was so concerned about the future of the church? Can you understand why he spent another 40 days among them and teaching them and trying to make sure they really grasped the concept? Can you understand why God in his wisdom gave us the Holy Spirit? Because flesh and blood cannot receive. The carnal mind receiveth not the things of God. It's hard for us to comprehend. I was watching a video today of an atheist. Maybe you've seen it. A well-known atheist, widely listened to. Very smart guy. But he was expressing, he was trying to express the connection of Christ. And as he spoke of Jesus, his voice cracked. And he says, the truth is, I believe it. But I don't know how to believe it. An atheist. Known for being an atheist, followed by millions because he rejects the truth of God's word. And yet, as he's trying to comprehend it, he expresses it and he says, it's true. It's true. Isn't that incredible? Now, did he say, now I'm saved? He didn't say that. Didn't go that far. But guys, the truth is, like Paul on his way to Damascus, Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. In other words, this force that is in front of you, how can you deny it? When you really can, when you really think about it, when you allow yourself to accept it, and he came so close. And maybe he'll get there. But wait. Even the apostles struggled with it. I know people who struggle with the miracles of the Bible. That's okay. Because it's not natural. It's not normal. But that's what sets it apart. That's what makes it so wonderful. Is that Jesus was crucified. That he did die. The blood loss alone killed him. The suffocation killed him. The brutality you would think would have killed him. And yet it wasn't until he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and gave up the ghost, that he died. Why? Because he has the keys of death. They couldn't kill him. He gave up the ghost, and he died. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he says to them, ye are witnesses of these things. And I, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, I believe it's John that says, and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Until you be endued with power from on high, which we know occurred on Pentecost. He led them out as far as to Bethany, lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The night that began with wonder and doubt and fear and confusion ended with great joy and worship. It is undeniable, undeniable that Jesus Christ was a real historical figure, that he lived and that he died and that he rose again. That's history. Now, we know it from the beginning. In the beginning, he was. Did he dwelt among us. He became flesh and dwelt among us for our benefit. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. And these records share with us the great truths that we hold so dear. We see ourselves on that road to Emmaus. We see ourselves with our hearts burning within us as we read your word and spend time in fellowship and communion with you. God, we love you so much. And we rejoice in the resurrection. We rejoice in our salvation. God, it is a privilege to serve you, to walk with you, to be in your presence even tonight. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us all that we need, all that we have. And we pray that you will make us useful to your purpose, that you will forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.